Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
USA Radio News. It's Pride.
The missing suspect in Canada's stabbing massacre is dead following his capture. Police say he died shortly after his arrest when he went into a medical episode and did not return. 32-year-old Miles Sanderson was captured after police forced the stolen car he was driving off a highway in Saskatchewan. One of the victim's brother, Daryl Burns, on USA Today.
I want the world to know, and I want the world to know that in every Native community across Canada, there are good people in there. This is a random act of violence by people who were not in the right mind.
Extensive heat and dangerous fire weather is threatening much of the West and into the plains, particularly in California and Montana, where firefighters are battling several massive wildfires. At last report, there are 66 large fires across 8 states, mostly in the West. According to
you don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-568-2790. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-568-2790. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-568-2790. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too. Call 800-568-2790. 800-568-2790.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
In November to choose their next federal, state, and local leaders. Florida Republican Senator Rick Scott explains Senate Republican strategy heading into the midterm elections on Fox News.
We're defining the Democrats. We're helping our Republicans win through tough primaries, and they're now doing really well. We're in competitive.
From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
A California sheriff's deputy was arrested after allegedly killing a married couple in their Dublin, California home Wednesday morning. Dublin is about a 35-minute drive north of San Jose. 24-year-old Devin Williams Jr. was taken into custody less than 12 hours into a search for him. Williams, a member of the Alameda County Sheriff's Department, was off duty at the time of the shooting. Opening the National Football League season tonight in Southern California, the Rams will be hosting the Buffalo Bills. I'm Lance Pry. Thanks for listening. We are USA Radio News.
O'Reilly Auto Parts is here to keep your car on the road with our free loaner tool program. Your local store has more than 80 specialty tools available to rent for your next repair. Refundable deposit required. Ask our professional parts people about the loaner tool program today at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store or visit O'ReillyAuto.com.
Oh, O'Reilly. you love driving, but you hate your expensive car payment? Open Road Lending can reduce your current car payment by as much as $100 a month or more. Yes, it's easy to refinance your current car payment and save up to $100 a month. Could you use an extra $100 a month? Then make this call to Open Road Lending today to learn how you can lower your current car payment. It's easy, only takes a few minutes, and there's no cost or obligation to apply and get approved. You can do it all from the comfort of your home. Call today and see how much you can save.
800-511-6223. 800-511-6223. That's 800-511-6223. Call now. 800-511-6223.
Terms and conditions apply. Financing is available with approved credit. See openroadlending.com for details.
Bill Martinez.
We better stop. What's that sound?
6 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. Great to have you with us. And we've got Daniel Stashower joining us, New York Times bestselling author of The Hour of Peril. His new book, American Demon, Elliot Ness and the Hunt for America's Jack the Ripper. Daniel, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Thanks. Great to be here.
Well, why this book? I mean, it's... Boy, it is a compelling book. So give us some genesis of why the focus on this American demon.
Well, when people think of Elliot Ness, they usually think of a big truck smashing through the doors of an illegal brewery. And in many ways, Elliot Ness is exactly what you think. He's a hero. He's a man of great integrity and bravery. But he's more than that. He's more than the tough guy that we know from TV and the movies. He rose to fame during the Prohibition years as the man who got Al Capone. And he's remembered today mostly as the leader of the Untouchables, this legendary team of Prohibition agents. People will remember the old black and white TV series, and others will have seen the movie with Kevin Costner. But the real Elliot Ness was more than that. He was also a very forward-thinking reformer. He was astonishingly brave, and his exploits were spectacular. But on screen, he usually solves his problems with violence. And in real life, he rarely even carried a gun. In fact, he once said, he told a friend that he didn't need it. The empty holster was enough. And he brought off some of his bravest moments with an empty holster. And that was the Elliot Ness that I wanted to explore.
Well, that's incredible. I'd never heard that before, that he walked around with an empty holster, when you would think that just having a holster would be, a threat to people, right? And maybe he just saw it just as that. I say not only a threat, but a target.
He also believed, that's exactly the case. There's a scene when he's director of public safety in Cleveland, and he's launching a raid on a gambling club, an illegal gambling club that had set up shop right outside the city limits. It wasn't even in his jurisdiction. Ness arrived on the scene. He had no actual authority there, but he just pinned on his gold badge onto his coat, and he had policemen at his side, but he walked forward unarmed. He was confident that nobody would have the brass to shoot him in cold blood.
Wow. So in essence, he was the lawman's lawman, huh?
He really was in a lot of ways. And the second chapter of his life, the one that I focus on in this book, he's in Cleveland as director of public safety, which is something that generally people don't know about him. We think of him as a Chicago guy, Wrigley Field, Deep
right.
Dish, Elliot Ness. And that's where all the drama with Capone and the Untouchables played out. But that chapter was brief, and it was pretty much wrapped up by the time he turned 30. So he needs a second act, and he finds it in Cleveland, where he became director of public safety, which put him in charge of the entire police department and the fire department and a whole lot more. It's a big, big promotion, but it's also a huge contrast to the job he'd been doing with the Untouchables, where he'd been in charge of just a handful of guys, and now he's running thousands of city employees in one of America's largest cities, and he's the youngest person ever to hold the position. A lot of people assumed he would fall flat on his face, but he didn't. Mm. He succeeded incredibly well.
Well, and it is a bit of a gamble. I mean, because here you are, you're taking on an incredible amount of responsibility. You know, the people that you're in charge of. I mean, just by title, it sounds so, you know, so benign, you know. But yet in operation, I mean, as you said, there was an incredible amount of responsibility behind this job and what he was taking on there in Cleveland.
There really was. And as you say, it sounds, the job title makes it sound as though he's some kind of glorified crossing guard. But he really
was exactly.
at the top of the pyramid. And it was, it was a huge job because this reform-minded mayor had brought him in to clean up a police department that was basically rotting from within because of corruption. And also, by the way, to break the stranglehold that the mob had on the city. So, you know, no big deal. Clean up the police force. Take down the mob. And the wonder of it is the degree to which he succeeded. One reporter said at the time, this is the 1930s, his timing was terrific. The city seldom had needed a hero so badly.
Well, and as you said, at an early age, I mean, here he is at the age of 30, having this kind of responsibility, you know, heaped upon him. But he had the confidence that he had what it would take to be able to take on, you know, a corrupt institution, the police force, as well as the mob at the same time. My goodness, I mean, how many friends did he have? Or maybe more friends than he didn't have.
Certainly when he came in, and he was 32 when he took over as director of public safety, his youth and his relative inexperience was really working against him. He's mm-hmm. in charge. He's the chief of police reports to him now. And Elliot Ness had never been a police officer. He'd never worn a uniform. So a lot of the rank and file in the police force regarded him with a great deal of suspicion. And also a great deal of resignation in the sense that they'd seen a lot of promises of reform. They'd seen a lot of safety directors come and go. And people thought that things didn't really change very much. And I think a lot of people felt that basically the job couldn't be done. But he dug in. Police corruption was something he understood. He'd seen this equation in Chicago. And he knew what to do, and he found the allies he needed, even if it meant reaching outside of the police department and across political party lines, and put together what he needed in order to make a serious impact.
Daniel, help the audience understand here. I mean, we're talking the 30s. We're talking, you know, we're in the midst of the Depression. And this, the Depression is the backdrop of this next chapter in Elliot Ness's life.
Absolutely. He had sprung into being as the leader of the Untouchables because of Prohibition, which restricted the sale of the sale and production of alcohol in the United States. But Prohibition was repealed, and he needed to find his next chapter. The Great Depression had obviously had a catastrophic effect on the police, and nowhere more so than in Cleveland, where he was working as director of public safety. The city had been a powerhouse in the 1920s, and the Depression had hit as hard there as anywhere else, and the city was really struggling to shake off the effects of the Depression. And one of those effects was that the city had become nearly as mobbed up as Chicago, because the alcohol being illegal had created a vacuum in which underworld influences could thrive, and that was the job that Ness had learned to do in Chicago, and his triumph in Cleveland was to translate the lessons of the Capone era into lasting reform.
And here he is in Cleveland taking on a situation where we're discovering bodies left and right, and you've got a butcher on the loose, and we're going to talk more about that right after the break. Stay with us.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNloans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNloans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNloans.com. That's GCNloans.com.
Hey trader, listen up. The markets have changed. Have you changed your trading strategies? Vantage Point can help you conquer volatility. Learn to trade with artificial intelligence. Text the word money to 813-813 and discover how to predict stock market trends 1 to 3 days in advance with up to 87.4% proven accuracy. No matter which way the market moves, Vantage Point's patented AI can give you a massive edge. Text money to 813-813 to get what you need to stay ahead of markets and find your best entries and exits. Text the word money to 813-813.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance. By texting, you agree to the terms available at vantagepointsoftware.com/terms and consent to receive calls and texts using automated technology about offers or info by or on behalf of Vantage Point. Your consent is not a condition to purchase and can be revoked at any time. Message and data rates may apply.
Text money to 813-813.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now, and as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-398-0651. 800-398-0651. 800-398-0651. That's 800-398-0651.
Nobody wants to get ripped off, broken into, or robbed, but nobody wants to pay a lot of money to have their home protected either.
I've got an offer to tell you about to provide home security for your home for less than a dollar a day. For real, with no installation or equipment charges. And this is from a company rated number one by a leading consumer research company. According to the facts, most of you won't even call unless there's a burglary in your neighborhood or something bad happened. So let's give you a reason. Save money. For less than a dollar a day with no other costs, you can get your home secured. Plus, get a lifetime equipment replacement warranty. You need protection for your home. Call the Home Security Hotline right now.
800-755-7921. 800-755-7921. 800-755-7921. That's 800-755-7921.
Bill Martinez here, 19 minutes after the top of the hour, and we're talking with Daniel Stashower. His new book, American Demon, Eliot Ness and the Hunt for America's Jack the Ripper, his next chapter. We're talking Eliot Ness is well underway, and he is confronted with this madman, this incredible mad butcher of Kingsbury Run. This really brings Eliot Ness's story, full circle and then some, doesn't it?
Boy, it sure does. And then the murders began. Yes. And in fact, they began even before Ness appeared on the scene. in the mid-1930s, at the height of the Depression, there was a string of absolutely brutal killings. Each of the victims appeared to have been beheaded, some, it seemed, while still alive. And the remains, in most cases, were expertly dismembered and scattered across the city. So there's horror everywhere you look. A pair of schoolboys would stumble over a headless torso, or a severed limb would float down the Cuyahoga River, or a skull would pop up in a tin can at a city dump. And each time this happened, as you would imagine, it touched off a cycle of fear and outrage and calls for action in the newspaper. The headlines were, "The Mad Butcher Strikes Again. Who is this mad torso killer?" And one reporter called him that almost unknown creature, a master criminal. And he added that it could be powerfully argued that he was the greatest murderer of all time.
And this went on for 4 years, right?
It went on, some would say, even longer, because it took a while before the police realized that they were dealing with a series of interconnected crime. But at one stage, a body was discovered barely a mile away from where two others had been found a few months earlier. And the scale of the thing just snapped into focus. An investigator told the press that he and his detectives were on the trail of a crazed killer with a flair for butchery. But this was the 1930s. Modern forensics, things such as criminal profiling as we understand it today, that stuff hadn't happened yet.
Right.
But the Cleveland police threw everything they had at it called it, you know, the greatest manhunt that had ever occurred up to this point.
Well, and you also address in the book some interesting, character. I mean, you don't have a story like this in Cleveland during this era without its unique personalities, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean,
but the Elliot television would have. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Elliot Ness from television, go ahead.
Well, the Ness from television would have strapped on his holster. He would have kicked down some doors. But the real Elliot Ness wasn't, at this point in his career, wasn't in the business of catching killers. He's not a homicide detective any more than he was a fireman or a crossing guard. He's the director of public safety. He's at the top of the pyramid. So nobody expected the director of public safety to walk a beat or rescue cats stranded in trees or track down murderers. But this is Elliot Ness that we're talking about. People did expect action. They expected heroics. He had made a point of saying that he would lead the police from the front line. And over time, as the pattern of these crimes gathered force, he had to step in. He said, "I'm going to do all I can to aid in the investigation. I want to see this psycho caught."
Exactly. And Daniel, that example of leadership, I mean, in the midst of dealing with a corrupt law enforcement entity, served as a sobering example and encouragement for those that were not corrupt, and to bring, you know, some pride back to the institution, right?
Absolutely. Ness led by example and worked very hard to get reforms and support for the honest police, the kinds of police who had been sort of almost in hibernation during the era of the worst of the corruption. And he also brought in a police academy modeled on techniques that were being practiced at the FBI, where officers would be able to receive special training in first aid and investigative techniques and all sorts of things that Ness felt a modern police officer needed to be effective. And a lot of the rank and file, a lot of the people, particularly who were just coming onto the force in that case, at that time, took great encouragement from that. And one of them, years later, recalled Ness handing out his personal phone number to a class of rookies and saying, if someone offers you a bribe, if someone offers to buy you lunch, call this number. Call me. we'll deal with it. But if you don't, don't expect to be on the force very long.
Wow. That's pretty sobering in and of itself. What can you tell us about voodoo doctors and chicken freaks that you talk about in your book?
Voodoo doctors and chicken freaks is a sort of a broad category that referred to all of the crazy leads and wild angles that the police were trying to track down in order to get on the trail of this killer. There really was no stone unturned. They questioned just hundreds of, if not thousands of people. And there was particularly a detective, Peter Merlo, who was handpicked by the police chief, who worked full-time. And he was an absolute bulldog. He could well be the most dedicated and tireless person ever to put on a police uniform. He worked all hours with his partner, questioned thousands of potential suspects, worked every angle. At one stage, Detective Merlo even dressed up as a hobo and set himself out as bait for the killer. I mean, that's the degree of his commitment. That's how hard he and other police officers worked trying to bring this guy to justice.
You know, in reading the prologue of your book, Daniel, there's family connection here with you and Elliot Ness. No wonder you have a passion. You know, it comes out in this new book, American Demon, Elliot Ness and the Hunt for America's Jack the Ripper. Tell our audience about the family connection.
Well, I can't tell you how crazy that was. I spent a lot of time looking through Ness's scrapbooks and family papers, which are in Cleveland at the Western Reserve Historical Society. And it was what you would expect in large part. There were newspaper clippings. There would be things about Capone and other gangsters, and there was a lot of stuff about some of the era's shining lights like FDR and John D. Rockefeller and J. Edgar Hoover. But I'm paging through, and suddenly this familiar face jumps out at me. It's my grandfather, Fred Stashower. And I thought, well, this must be a mistake, or I've dozed off or something. And I would love to be able to tell you that my grandfather was a bootlegger or a bank robber. But it turns out that Ness and my grandfather crossed paths at least once a year at a political roast. And it was called the Anvil Review. And my grandfather, I came to find out, was a cast member for years and years. And Elliot Ness was a frequent target. They were basically roasting him like a Comedy Central roast.
Right.
And apparently Ness just took it all in stride. He pasted a caricature of himself into a scrapbook and a picture of himself with his hand pressed to his forehead, you know, all but doubled over in appreciation of the joke. He may have been untouchable, but the man had a sense of humor.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Daniel, congratulations on the book, 45 Seconds Left, American Demon, linked on our website. What would you want the audience to take from your book?
Just that in the Great Depression, Elliot Ness was as much, if not more, of a hero than the one you saw on screen when you were growing up. He's just a remarkable story of an incredibly fascinating man.
Yeah, second chapter of an outstanding life that we hadn't heard about before, Daniel. And thank you for sharing it with us in your book, American Demon. Thanks for the time. Take care.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is a perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New America. American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-459-9156, 800-459-9156, 800-459-9156. That's 800-459-9156, NMLS 6606, www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
A Democrat official in the Las Vegas government who was the focus of stories written by murdered Las Vegas investigative reporter Jeff German was arrested in the case Wednesday on suspicion of murder. Clark County Public Administrator Robert Tellis was taken into custody after a standoff with SWAT. Authorities searched his home for hours earlier Wednesday. That's according to Metro Police Sheriff Joe Lombardo. A California sheriff's deputy was arrested after allegedly killing a married couple in their Dublin, California home early Wednesday morning. Dublin is about a 35-minute drive north of San Jose. 24-year-old Devin Williams Jr. was taken into custody less than 12 hours after a search for him. Williams is a member of the Alameda County Sheriff's Department and was off duty at the time of the shooting. The National Football League season kicks off tonight in Southern California as the Rams host the Bills. USA Radio News, I'm Lance Pry.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Hey, we're back with you 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here. Jim Rafferty is going to be joining us. Looking forward to this interview. We have broadcasting in our background together. And his name sounds so familiar, I've got to be honest with you. I'm not sure if we crossed media tracks, radio station tracks over the years. I was based in Southern California, in Los Angeles primarily, and had a great career there in L.A. Jim's career, three-decade of radio career and punishment as an announcer and program director, now a marketer and an author and entrepreneur. Hey, Jim, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Hey, Bill, thanks. Great to talk to you. Yeah, and I was an East Coast guy. I was a Philadelphia, Baltimore, that neck of the woods here. Still
exactly.
Baltimore, actually, but not in radio anymore. Yeah.
Well, I keep thinking that in fact, my son is pushing me to do this, that we ought to get, the disc jockeys, radio announcers, personalities in our era together and do kind of a video documentary of, radio during that period of time and the music and all that. So that may happen. So if you get a call from me after there to say, hey, look, we're going to be doing a shoot and I need you there, you'll know what it's all about, okay?
Yeah, that would be really, really interesting, and also to know, what everybody else decided to do when they decided they, needed to make a real living and not be a radio announcer anymore.
I know, exactly. Well, yeah, that was for me, because I kept telling people, I wanted to get off and away from the microphone back in the days, because I didn't want my kids calling and, asking for records to be played and dedications for their girlfriends, So, I better get out of this deal. So then I ended up in station management and I ran radio stations and built sales teams. And it was a great ride, 50 plus years of media and all the memories and everything like that, just like with you. The only thing I didn't do, I didn't Scoutmaster. I didn't do any scout mastering like you.
Yeah, and that's the story. Yeah, it's funny, though, how the microphone kind of follows you wherever you go, too. I mean, even now, I'm largely a marketing consultant. That's how I spend most of my time. And still, do a fair bit of voiceover work as part of that, you know, from hold messages to still, you know, some TV radio commercials and that kind of thing.
Well, that's what happens when God has blessed you with this natural voice. Then, and you kind of take it for granted until somebody says, "Hey, you got a good voice. You know, can you do this? Can you do this spot for me?" Because, you know, for me, that's what got me into marketing is people say, "Hey, you got a good voice. You need to do a commercial for me." So it started innocently as commercials. Next thing I knew, I had a pretty vibrant boutique advertising marketing company in Los Angeles, and had a great ride for many years and a lot of fun working with some great accounts and branding accounts. And you know, this was all during the waterbed days and furniture days and all that good stuff until the early 90s when all the attorneys came in and said, "Hey, look, we need to bankrupt you guys," you know, because they were looking for, you know, some easy money. So next thing you know, they bankrupt the industry, yeah, and we got hit pretty bad. But, you know, hey, the thing is about radio folk, we know how to reinvent ourselves, right?
Yes. Yeah, 100%. And all those lonely hours in the studio, if you're paying attention to the commercials as they go by, that's a pretty good, you know, school of hard knocks for a future marketer. You know,
without a doubt.
What works and what doesn't work. And, yeah.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, Jim has written a book, Leader by Accident, Lessons in Leadership, Loss in Life. Jim, you know, from your old radio days, did you ever think that you'd be an author?
No, I never thought I'd be an author, and I never thought I'd be an entrepreneur, honestly. You know, I was always a guy who was very happy to have, you know, a job and have somebody else hand me a check and, you know, provide my health care and all the other stuff that goes along with that. And then, you know, a couple of things changed, and the book begins, I mean, it's really, I guess, not about this, but as you noted, I became a scoutmaster of our son's Boy Scout troop, but under some really horrible circumstances when the scoutmaster at the time and his entire family were murdered by their own son. And so, you know, 2 days later, with, you know, literally zero notice and zero scouting experience and zero in the way of outdoor skills or any of the kinds of things you'd want from your scoutmaster, I was in charge of this troop of about 25 young men that we didn't know, you know, whether or not it was going to survive. Honestly, it was a very, you know, obviously a traumatic time. And, you know, the book, Leader by Accident, tells that story, certainly, but more to the point, probably, is how those experiences and the things I learned and the physical adventures, the camping and the hiking and all the things we did, how those really prepared me when, you know, 4 years later, then I was shown the door at my non-radio job. But the job I'd held for a couple of decades at that point, you know, and like I said, it never occurred to me to do anything other than have somebody hand me a check. And there was a path that led me a different way to hang out my own shingle as a marketing consultant. And this coming, this week actually marks 10 years of that.
Wow, good for you.
You know, that is just, thank you, just so, so gratifying. But something that I would never have had the courage to try if I had not stepped out of my comfort zone the first time and said, okay, I'll do my best here in the Scoutmaster job because there's a need. So, you know, one thing leads to another, and sometimes things prepare us for other things in really, really unexpected ways, I think.
Yeah, and it's interesting what people, you know, maybe can draw from this and from both of our broadcasting experiences is there's not necessarily a lot of security in radio. It's, you know, I think, you know, purposely, I never bought furniture that was very heavy. And, you know, because you knew the life expectancy at any station, any market was usually about, you know, it was measured in months, not rarely in years. I was fortunate through my career that, you know, most of the places I would be, you know, 3 to 5 years. But just to give you a false sense of security. But, you know, rejection and looking for the next radio station just came with the territory, right?
It did, 100%. And, you know, and that's even back in, you know, quote unquote, the glory days, the heyday of radio, you know, back when you and I were doing that. It was always an uncertain thing because formats change, tastes change. Some stations, you know, don't make it. So they've got to flip and do other stuff. And that was part of the gig. But then, you know, later, if you look at around the turn of the century, even a little before that, you know, so many things have happened, but a lot to do with technology and the internet and the, you know, streaming music and podcasts and people just talking on their phones instead of listening to the radio in the car, you know, and all these different options for what we put in our ears. And, you know, commercial radio just sort of like pecked to death by ducks. You know, there's one thing here and one thing here, but you add it all up, and there's really there's so many more options.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a tough time. And so now, you know, those same sales departments are still selling radio time. And, mm-hmm. you know, they should, because there's a place for local radio. But yeah. most of them have to supplement that with their digital products, right? They'll sell you their website ads or their email campaign or all that other thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's but still the basis is radio and being able to market, you know, be a marketeer via that very powerful medium that I've maintained. I grew up on it, and I think some people have tried to sell it off too soon. You know, its demise keeps, you know, they keep on predicting it, but you know, I'll believe that it's gone by the wayside totally when you start to see cars without a radio unit inside.
Right.
No, just saying.
There's still very much a place for local radio, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And you know, I have clients here. I still do traditional media as a marketing mm-hmm. consultant. I have clients who do very well on a couple of radio stations here in Baltimore. So, yeah.
Yes, exactly. Sure. Well, Jim, I want to get back to your story. As you opened up in the book, sure. I mean, here you are, the reluctant scoutmaster, so to speak. And, you know, you say that, you know, you learned a lot. But I want to get into the part that you learned about yourself. Because this is what happens, you know, when you get into situations like this, you find out things about yourself that maybe were always there, just never really had that opportunity to be expressed. And now all of a sudden, this opportunity allows you to use some, you know, different crayons on the canvas of life. Did you find that to be the case with you?
Absolutely, yeah, 100%. And it took a couple of forms. I sort of alluded to the, you know, the physical part, the challenging myself in ways that I had never done, where, you know, not just weekend camping like scout troops do, including us, but, you know, some of the high adventure trips that we did with these young men, and another trip in between, actually, that my wife and I did with another couple. But, you know, where places like the Florida Keys were very intense, you know, in 85 degree heat for, you know, 4 days with no wristwatches or phones or anything. Backpacking trip to Yellowstone and the trip we did with another couple, my wife and I hiked down to the bottom of the Grand Canyon and spent 4 nights there and then hiked back out. And that will test you physically and emotionally. I'll tell you, when you get down there and look up, it is a long way.
Yeah, without a doubt. You know, well, we've got to go to a quick break. We've got more from Jim Rafferty after this.
Great news for active aging seniors. The Kanega Watch, the only medical alert smartwatch with built-in fall detection. Yeah, the Kanega Watch is much different than the other guys. It's a stylish, discreet watch you can wear all the time. Get help through the watch in one of three ways. Your voice, pushing the watch's alert button, or have the fall detection connect you to a U.S.-based 24/7 monitoring center who'll speak to you through your watch and can send help to your GPS location nationwide. And get this, it can do that even if you're not responsive. This is true 24/7 peace of mind for you and those that love you. Order your Kanega watch with a full refund 30-day trial period. Call now, 800-475-6824. 800-475-6824. 800-475-6824. That's 800-475-6824.
If your refrigerator, your washer, your dryer, or any other major appliance in your home breaks right now, do you have an extra $1,000 laying around to fix it or buy a new one? And hey, that's on the low end. Wouldn't you rather spend a dollar a day and make sure all the major appliances in your home are guaranteed to be fixed or replaced? Then call the Home Service Club right now for a free quote and a free month. Trust us, any major appliance in your home is guaranteed to be fixed or replaced. You could spend a dollar a day and have the peace of mind and the coverage for all your major appliances. Or you could be prepared to shell out thousands of dollars or more without protection. So call right now and get a free quote and a free month. Call right now.
800-238-9153. 800-238-9153. 800-238-9153. That's 800-238-9153.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now.
I feel better, have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, need to try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product. Has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Have you heard about vine-to-bar chocolate? It's the winemaker's chocolate, the world's first chocolate made with well-vined Chardonnay marc from the beautiful coastal vineyards of North America. Gently pressed grapes are harvested after juicing, dried and finely milled, and carefully blended into the finest dark chocolate. The Chardonnay marc contains highly beneficial grape nutrients, flavanols, and has a natural sweetness that flavors the luscious dark chocolate. Mouthwatering, flavorful, delectable dark chocolate goodness with Chardonnay sweetness and beneficial nutrients. And it's alcohol-free, too. It's vine-to-bar chocolate. Order some today at vine-to-bar.com. That's vinetobar.com. Cold shipped to your door, it's vine-to-bar. Vine-to-bar chocolate. Visit us at vine-to-bar.com.
Right here, right now, Bill Martinez.
The brightest sunrise, wait.
Don't you see that to be the case? I mean, Jim Rafferty's story is like that, too. He's going through life like we all do, and you hit bumps, and you wonder, oh, my goodness, you know, what are we going to do here? And you may find yourself, pausing for that moment, having this sense of hope, but really not sure. And, like Danny Gokey says, and it's such a great word of encouragement, And we should take away, some hope and encouragement from his song, is that oftentimes in life, it's there. We just haven't seen it. Not quite yet. It's just around the corner. You just got to go just a little bit further, to realize, as Jim and I were talking, the interesting thing about being in the radio business, and he's had 3 decades of radio announcing. I've been in the radio business for 50 plus years, is that, you can't really hold on to much security per se. I mean, there's not, a bunch of Rush Limbaughs out there that go on for decades and are able to hold their positions. It is very unique. And Jim, I got to say to you, there was one gal that worked at my father-in-law's radio station in Orange County, California, and she started working there, I believe, when she was 16 years old. And she ended up retiring from that same radio station, which turned hands, I think, a couple of times. But she stayed. It was like she was part of the escrow, and with the building and everything like that. Wow. And retired, same radio station after, I don't know, about 40 years. And I told her, I said, do you realize what a rare creature you are? I mean, you're rare anyway, but I mean, the fact that, especially radio, right? To be at the same radio station, I mean, I wouldn't know what to do if I, got in the car and was going to the same address for 40 years.
Yeah, exactly. You're like, I remember which town you were in.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that ties back to, part of the book, Leader by Accident, is a significant part of the book, or some of the lessons, things called a Scoutmaster Minute that I would mm-hmm. share with the young men of the troop, after every weekly troop meeting at the end of the meeting. Mm-hmm. And I kept an archive of those and use those through the book and try to take one of those and then translate it into a lesson that means something for you and I as adults trying to get through life. And you just touched on one there that was so appropriate. And I talked to the guys about how when you're in the car and you've got the GPS and you do something the GPS didn't tell you to do. You make the right when it wanted you to go straight, mm-hmm. and it mm-hmm. says recalculating, right? And I said, you're going to hit those moments in your life, guys. And here you are 15, 16, 17 years old. You haven't really failed yet. And I have bad news. You're going to at some point. Mm-hmm. You're not going to get into the college you want to get into. You're not going to marry the person you thought you were going to marry. You're going to lose that job. You're going to not be in the career you thought you'd be in. These things happen. And the thing you have to remember is that, you know, failure isn't failure. It's that opportunity to recalculate.
Yeah,
and to say, okay, I'm on a different road than I thought I'd be on. But you know what? Maybe it will be even better. And, you know, in my case, personally, it has been in almost every instance. I mean, I never planned to be a marketing consultant. And, you know, I never certainly planned to write a book and certainly not to be a scoutmaster. Mm-hmm. But all of those things, you know, came along because of those pivotal moments in life where you have to recalculate.
You know, that experience with these young men in scouting, in a sense, the reluctant scoutmaster, I only say that because it was, you know, not necessarily your idea. It was the circumstances that came about, and you were the one that answered the call and stepped up. What was the biggest takeaway for you in being around these young men?
Their resilience, for one, in the wake of this tragedy that we all experienced. You know, we very much got through that as a group. And I think that the two leadership lessons for me there were, one, you know, I did not make any effort to hide the fact that I was pretty inexperienced at, you know, quote unquote, scoutmaster stuff, right? I was very upfront with them about that. And there were other people acting as, you know, assistants, as helpers who were much better at those things. And so between us, we had things covered. But I never hid from them the fact that when they were stepping into that wobbly canoe for the first time, you know, so was I. And the other thing is that as a group, we did not hide from what had happened.
Yes.
I mean, we talked about what came to be known as the Browning tragedy. We talked about that regularly as, you know, as it unfolded in the news and various developments and all of that. And we were very upfront with it. And they were just so amazingly supportive of each other, you know, because that a scout troop is young men who are, well, now young men and young women, which is fine. But back then, young men between 11 and 17 years of age. And there is a big difference between an 11-year-old and a 17-year-old, right? So
exactly.
Part of the magic of all that was, you know, getting the older ones, you know, teaching those leadership skills and getting them to, you know, stop swatting away the younger ones like your annoying little brother, you know?
Right.
And to see that all come together in the moments where it really worked was really just the most gratifying thing.
Well, I can imagine that this was such a healing, really a needed healing experience. I mean, little did you know what role you were going to play in terms of healing that needed to take place. And, Jim, if you weren't there and if this didn't come together with the support of the parents and that sort of thing, I mean, what loss there could have been. And this is, to me, one of the lessons of leadership. And so often at times we think we're, you know, not qualified, but I find the person who is humble enough to go into leadership with a sense of awe and the idea that, you know, arrogance is left out the door and like they think they know it all and they're going to play leader, you know, and especially with young kids, because the young kids know if you're playing or you're genuine, don't they?
Yes, they do. They do. And, you know, Troop 328 did not survive and thrive because of Jim Rafferty. It survived because of a bunch of people who stepped up and did more. But among the very first things I did when I became Scoutmaster was say to the whole group, not only the people who wore Scout shirts, but all the parents, to say, we need you to step up and do more. Okay. To take on a new responsibility that you didn't have before. And many, many of them did that. And that is why the troop, you know, survived. And, you know, that's lesson number one for me is don't be afraid to ask for help. You know, the leader doesn't have to have all the answers and doesn't have to be able to provide all the solutions, and you can't be afraid to ask. And the other way that goes, and this was more of a scout, thing, but you sort of alluded to it a moment ago, where over and over again, scouts had to learn that being leader doesn't mean being boss. They're two very different things because, you know, you'd see somebody get promoted to patrol leader and they think, okay, this means that I can boss everybody around, these little peons, you know, and all that. And the other boys would just, you know, cheerfully ignore him and go about right. their business. And they'd come back to us in tears, you know, and say, well, okay, what did we learn here? You know, okay, leader means getting in there and doing stuff with them, not pointing at things and telling them to do. You know, and that's a very valuable first lesson at really at any age.
Right. Yeah, it's being that example, you know, and that takes humility. You can't do it out of arrogance. That's not that really isn't leadership. I mean, at that point, you're being, you know, totalitarian and dictatorial. And especially young kids at that age, you're not the boss of me. It's not going to happen, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, I think that arrogance that we see, you know, on the receiving end is really born out of insecurity. And I think back to my own experiences, you know, back in radio, I was 28 years old. I moved to Baltimore from Philly to be the program director for a radio station and to manage, you know, 6, 7, 8 people who were all significantly older, at least a few years, and in some cases significantly older than me. And so, you know, you pretend, well, I've got to show them who's boss, right? I'm going to tell them what to do and all that. And you learn pretty quickly that that doesn't work. But sometimes you have to live through it to learn the lesson the hard way.
Exactly. What other lesson, I mean, you know, in leadership that you can share with our audience? We've got about 2 minutes left here, Jim.
Yeah, I think the other key pillar of leader by accident for me is not just about leadership, but about life in general. And it's how valuable it has been for me and for anybody to cultivate a sense of gratitude. And that was, again, a recurring message of mine with the scouts in the scout instruments that we talked about. You know, we really need to make a little effort every day to look for the things that are going on in our lives that are good. And there's any number of ways to do that. There's gratitude journaling. Some people set alarms on their phone once a day and then think of something good. That's fine. I think of 3 things I'm grateful for that day, last thing before I close my eyes at night. And I find that that has really helped. But, you know, we live, and that this was, you know, 2008 through 2012 when I was getting these lessons. And if you look at what's happened since then with our whole news environment and the social media environment and all the pointing and shouting and name calling, I mean, we're just awash in all this negativity every day. And I think it takes even more effort than it used to. And I think it's even more important that we make the effort to call out the things in our lives that are good and to cultivate that sense of gratitude.
Exactly. How about let's just agree to be one less angry person in the crowd? Huh?
Yeah.
Do you think that might be a good start? Yeah.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah, amen. This is, Jim, what a great story. And, you know, from a tragic loss, redemption, and an answer here for these kids, because the fact of the matter is that life goes on. And these kids needed to have an outlet where they could come together of like mind, of, you know, similar experience, and to be able to heal through this. And though you were the leader by accident, I believe you were the appointed leader, along with the team of people that came alongside for the sake of these kids and this great experience. And here it is documented in your new book, Leader by Accident. We'll link it on our website at BillMartinezLive.com. Jim, thank you so much for being with us. Take care, my friend.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS?